I wasn't freaked out. It was really a weight off my shoulders, and I already had this, and I'm like, all right, this is my ticket to make this happen, you know, to put full time into it and see what I can do.
Hey folks, welcome to the Adventure Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Mason. Today's episode is pretty unique because we're recording, for the first time ever for me, from a boat. Literally a boat out in the ocean. And let me tell you why we're doing that. Back in October, I went to the Outdoor Media Summit, which was, you know, this big gathering of all sorts of media in the outdoor industries, from, you know, PR companies to journalists to podcasters and writers and everything else. And I gave a talk on podcasting, and Angie was going to give a talk too, but she wasn't able to. So I got to know her a little bit at the Outdoor Media Summit. And by the way, her show, the Women Angler and Adventurer podcast, has won Outdoor Media Summit's Outdoor Podcast of the Year 2 years in a row. And we actually won, Adventure Sports Podcast won the best podcast episode of the year in the outdoor industry. So I knew Angie as like a really good podcaster, a great podcaster from the beginning, because she has won 2 years in a row now. And so for some reason, we were talking through email a couple months later. This was like last month or the month before. And we were talking about, you know, getting together for an interview or something, or just doing a recording of some sort. And she mentioned, yeah, I spend my winters down in a small town in Florida. And I was like, no way. I actually just moved down there last year. What town are you in? And she says the town, and it's a small town. And I said, you got to be kidding me. That's the town I moved to. And I'm like, where are you in the town? And she mentions this little area. And I said, that's like 3 blocks from me. And so she spends her winters, no joke, a couple blocks from where I live. And so we both say, oh, you know, this is meant to be. We have to get together and record a podcast interview and, you know, share the audio or be on each other's shows, something. And so when she got down and got settled, we scheduled it. And so last week we had a conversation about just her story about going from the music industry in Nashville to full-time pursuing her passions in the outdoors, you know, pursuing her passion in podcasting. So even if you don't, you know, you're not a woman and a woman that fishes, you can learn so much from Angie because the principles apply no matter what you're doing. You know, doing something you love on the side while you maintain a career, and then your career disappears, and having to do that full time and wanting to, having that opportunity. So it was a very fascinating talk. And she works for Freedom Boat Club too, that rents boats. So we decided to rent one of the boats, drive out to the ocean, and just sit out there and float and record a podcast episode. It was absolutely fantastic. There were birds flying by. There were dolphins in the water right next to us. It was the coolest interview I've ever done. Location especially I've ever done. So pretty fun. And my mic actually goes out a little bit. There was no issue with hers, no issue with any technology as far as like being out there. It was literally just a bad connection between my mic and the cord that goes into it, which I have had trouble with. So I wasn't checking it out there. And so that bit me in the butt. But anyway, you don't hear that really towards the end. And I cleaned it up the best I could. But don't let that take away from the fact that we're out in the water recording an awesome episode about adventure sports and about living a life without compromise and living your life to the fullest. So enjoy the conversation. Check out all of Angie's stuff. It's in the show notes. Let's go ahead and jump in. All right, folks, welcome to Adventure Sports Podcast. Today we're living up to our name a little bit. We're on an adventure. We're on a boat with Angie Scott of the Women Angler and Adventurer podcast, and Sophie, and Dana Well, hey, welcome, everybody. We're on a pontoon boat. How's it going, Angie?
Hey, you can't beat this, let me tell you. Beautiful day. We're on the water. We're on a great platform, a pontoon boat, just chatting about adventure. It's awesome.
This beats the heck out of my back porch with my neighbor's lawnmower running.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? This is awesome. Well, we've got a couple athletic brews. We're literally on a boat on the Manatee River in Palmetto.
Crack mine open.
Yeah, here. I'm going to crack mine open, too. I got Run Wild. You got Upside Down. Mm. Well, I tell you what. So what are y'all doing here just in this area?
So I'm pretty fortunate. Just a quick background on myself. Originally from Minnesota, grew up fishing and outdoors up there. And then one of my dreams was to work in the music industry. And so I was either going to go music industry or outdoors, like natural resources, something like that, because I love the outdoors. Ultimately, I chose to go for the music industry because, I don't know, that's just what my passion was at the time. And so that's what brought me to Nashville, Tennessee, and that's where I'm based out of now. And I worked in the music business for 16 years. It was awesome. But after 16 years of sitting at a desk with most of my career, I had a windowless office, and me being such an outdoors person, that was really starting to wear on me. And so I started thinking, what can I do to shift my career to so I can be outside or not stuck behind a desk all the time? I mean, don't get me wrong, going to concerts at night and meeting cool people, like all that was great. But I just didn't want to wake up at 65 and have sat behind a desk my whole life, you know?
Well, you fixed that today, at least.
Yeah.
Today we're at least not in a windowless office. We are in a windowless office.
Well,
but it's the opposite.
Right.
There's no room for nothing.
Yeah.
Well, so what kind of a music industry, 16 years, I actually didn't know that. What kind of music? And was it management? Was it just being a part? Was it performance? What was it?
So I went to school there were schools actually in the Nashville area that have music business programs. And mm-hmm. I didn't know that existed at the time I started college up in Minnesota, and just happened to stumble across that. And I'm like, well, that's what I want to do. So I need to go to one of these schools with a, you know, specific music industry program. So I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just studied business. And whereas, like, most people have their musical heroes, you know, like Van Halen or, you know, whoever, my musical heroes were, like, the music business people, the record label presidents and stuff like that. And
that's so, who you had on posters
on
your wall.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I graduated, just happened to get lucky, and I went to a temp agency. There was a company called Creative Artists Agency that was looking for a temp position. And while I was there at the temp agency, they were like, hey, we have an opportunity for an interview for you if you want to go across town and talk to these people at Creative Artists Agency. I'd never heard of them before. But I went, they offered me the job. I called one of my professors that night. I'm like, I don't know if I should take this job. And he said, take it.
Wow. That's
and,
awesome.
Creative Artists Agency is one of the biggest booking agency, talent agencies in the world. So they're based out of LA or Beverly Hills. They do acting. Now they do sports. They're the biggest sports agency. So my hands were in all of that, but my day job was I was the head of the contracts department for the booking side of the business. So anytime we'd book concerts, I handled all the paperwork and collecting the money and stuff like that. So we had like Tim McGraw,
interact with a lot of big names.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Tim McGraw, Martina McBride, Reba. I got to go to Taylor Swift's 16th birthday party.
Are you serious? How was that? Just ridiculous.
I mean, you know, she was just getting started at that time.
16,
I mean, she was still kind of the thing at that point, but still very young, and so it was it was pretty low key. She had like a photo booth, and it was fun, you know. But
wow.
I remember, I think she got a pink pickup truck as her 16th birthday present.
That is a pretty cool story, actually, being able to go to her birthday party. I mean, I don't know anyone that's ever been to Taylor Swift's birthday. So any interesting, surprising things to know about any celebrities? Anybody, I know you don't want to probably throw too much shade.
Everyone's been really cool that I met. I've heard negative stories about certain people, and when I've met them, that's just not been the case. I think it comes down to everybody has bad days.
Oh yeah.
And if somebody crosses paths with a celebrity who happens to be having a bad day, then that's the story that gets spread around and you hear, you know. I'm sure there are horrible people out there, you know, that are difficult to work with. I don't deny that. But for the most part, everyone that I've met has been just phenomenal. One of the coolest stories was, because we're in the music industry, we don't get to hang out with movie stars that often.
Okay, yeah.
And so anytime we cross paths with movie stars, that was kind of special for us, you know.
A little starstruck. But yeah, Tim McGraw, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I see him all
the
time.
But so Billy Bob Thornton has a band called the Box Masters, and we booked his band. And so he came to the office a couple times, and he's super cool. Like, you'd think he's, you know, really weird. You hear all these bizarre stories about him and stuff. He's just the most laid back. Like, we took him out to a bar at downtown Nashville, and just, you know, public was coming up to him, and he treated everybody just like they were his best friend. So it's really cool.
That's really cool. So 16 years of that.
Yep.
What finally was like, all right, I need to change course? Because on this show, just like I'm sure you know, a lot of people that feel that way. Heck, I feel that way sometimes, where it's like, how do I do more of this, what we're doing right now, talking to cool people on the water? How do I do more of this versus what I'm doing behind the desk all the time?
Yeah.
What happened?
I think the big catalyst for me was, so I had a motorcycle for a while. That was kind of my outdoor escape. You know, that wind in your hair, kind of the freedom. And it, as Nashville started growing more and more and more and getting more populated, I started getting more scared. But, you know, riding the motorcycle with all this traffic, And so I was like, you know what? I don't know. Once you start to feel scared, that's probably the time that you need to get rid of it and do something else. And I've been thinking about getting a boat for a while. There's all these Great Lakes right outside of Nashville that I hadn't been taking advantage of. I've been just, you know, so immersed in the music industry and doing that stuff that I started, like, fishing a little bit from the shore. And I'm like, why haven't I been doing this the whole time? Because I love the outdoors so much, and this is so great. So I finally sold the motorcycle and bought a little pontoon boat. And as I started getting out on the water more and more, I was like, this is what I need to be doing. This is, you know, how can I shift my career from what I'm doing now to something completely different, which is, you know, outdoors. So that's where I got the idea to start the Woman Angler and Adventurer podcast. And I thought, you know, if I can kind of do this on the side and see where it leads and maybe build it into something to where I could eventually leave my job and do this full time. As you probably know, that's not necessarily a realistic
you gotta give it
venture.
A shot, but yeah, it can be tough.
Yeah.
So you started the show while you were still working in the industry?
Yep.
See, I like that, because a lot of people dream about the day where they cut everything off and start something new. But for a lot of us, that's just not gonna how it's gonna work. You gotta start it and have it going on the side, and then make that transition slowly.
Yep.
Not always. Sometimes it is instantly. But that's stressful when that happens. It can be stressful. I like having it as a hobby almost on the side.
Right.
A passion. So how is it going? Did it provide that outlet you were looking for?
It did, but not in the way I expected it to.
Okay.
So, and the decision kind of got made for me too at one point. So one of the other reasons I started the podcast too is because I was the head of the contracts department, and I know that they had already phased out the contracts department in our LA office.
Right.
And so that kind of gave me an inkling, that's probably coming down the line for me in Nashville at some point. So that was another reason why I was like, I better start working to build something else, you know.
Yeah.
So when that time comes, I have something to fall back on.
What were they doing with contracts then? Was it just automated?
A lot of it was getting automated. Technology was improving. And then the agent's assistants were just kind of taking over and handling all that day-to-day interaction. So I saw that coming. And, of course, lo and behold, one day it happened. And so you know, it was kind of like a weight off my shoulders. Though,
really?
You know?
So I mean, what was that conversation like? Like, bring into the room and
pretty much.
You're let go. And yep. What did you feel initially? I'm sure some fear.
I was a little shocked just because I knew it was coming, but it came sooner than I expected it to. So I was a little bit shocked in that regard. But, you know, when you've been at a place for 16 years and then one day you just get called in and then boom, it's over. But I wasn't freaked out. It was really a weight off my shoulders, and I already had this, and I'm like, all right, this is my ticket to make this happen, you know, to put full time into it and see what I can do. That afforded me to be able to go to like the Bassmaster Classic and network with a lot of the industry people, have more guests on my podcast, meet more people. I mean, it just really helped grow everything a lot more rapidly. And, you know, and I had some built up to fall back on, so it wasn't like I was going to be screwed financially, you know. So it all kind of worked out, and one thing led to another. And like I said, it didn't work out the way I imagined with, like, the podcast making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet, anyways. But I got my captain's license over that time, and now I've got my master captain's license. I actually just got in the mail yesterday, so I upgraded.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. So, and I didn't know why I got my captain's license. I just knew, like, you know, maybe I could be a guide or take people out on cruises and stuff like that on the side of doing the podcast, and, you know, that'd be a real way to generate income. And I was at the Nashville Boat Show doing a live episode for the Woman Angler and Adventurer podcast. I invited a lot of ladies in the area that fish competitively to be featured on this live podcast. They have this big fish tank called the Hog Trough that they do demonstrations and stuff. So we had everybody line up there. We had, you know, our microphones set up, and we had a little bit of an audience. And at that show is where I was talking to one of our Tennessee Fish and Wildlife people. We call it the TWRA, Tennessee Wildlife Resources. I was talking to this lady I knew from that, and she said, you know, you need to talk to Freedom Boat Club. They're expanding, growing in Nashville, and they're looking for licensed captains to do their new member trainings. And I was like, well, that's perfect. I got my captain's license, you know. So I went and talked to them, met with them a few times. One thing led to another, and I started doing all the new member trainings, and that was in 2020. So,
no kidding. Well, what do they think about? Do you bring up what you do with the Women Anglers podcast?
Sometimes,
or was it a conversation, or like, hey, I'm involved in the industry?
Yeah, no, they were aware of my podcast, and they're super supportive. They actually came on to sponsor me. I decided to fish competitively myself this past year in 2021 on the Women's Pro Bass Tour. So they sponsored all my entry fees, and we got a wrapped boat and the whole deal. So they've been super cool. Yeah.
Which is cool, because you never know where it's going to end up. You know, I had no idea I was going to end up in brewing, but you just start going, and you see where it goes. You see where the path leads. So you started the podcast, and what kind of things were you talking about early on? How has it changed since then?
So funny you say that. When I very first started the podcast, I started it as a show called It Pays to Fish, kind of selfishly, because I was looking for ideas, because I was still working in the music industry at the time, looking for, like, career ideas, what I could do in the fishing industry. And there's a lot more you can do in the fishing industry than just being a guide or being a tournament angler. And so I was looking for people that were kind of outside of the box.
And like, you probably knew that from music industry. People probably put you in a bucket of performer or agent, and that's it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to it.
Yeah, like when I tell people I worked in the music industry, the second question is, oh, what instrument do you play?
Yeah, totally. Keyboard.
Yeah. I mean, I do play a little bit of guitar, but not good enough to be a... Yeah, so I had this guy, Casey Scott. He's a marine artist, and he does all the artwork for hook gear. No relation. Yeah. That might have helped me get the interview with him, though, when he saw the last name. I'm not sure. And then I had a YouTube person and somebody who invented an app for tournaments, you know, just different things. Then I had this lady on who runs this group up in Wisconsin called Wisconsin Women Fish. And I started thinking, I'm like, you know, there's not really any platforms out here right now for women in fishing to like, or the outdoors or hunting or whatever at that time, to share their stories and kind of inspire others. And that gave me the idea to kind of transition the show, because I don't know if you're familiar, there's already a couple guys down here that have a show called Salt Strong. And, you know, they have a podcast, and theirs was kind of similar already, where they do different things, but they were also featuring people disrupting the fishing industry, making a career in it. And so I thought, you know, there's already that. Not that there's not room for everybody, but I was like, there's not something right now for women. And so that's when I decided to transition it to the Woman Angler and Adventurer podcast. And the whole mission of the show is just to share stories of women who are doing awesome things and fishing in the outdoors in order to inspire others to get more involved. And this year, I've decided to take it a little step further. I'm going to add an extra monthly episode series. So the podcast comes out weekly on Tuesdays. But this year, I'm going to add an extra episode a month called One Day at a Time, which is actually based off of a song I did write.
What song?
It was recorded by this artist called Ricky Lee out of Pennsylvania, so not nationally known song, but he put it out on Spotify and Apple and
oh,
YouTube.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it's called One Day at a Time by Ricky Lee. But anyway, the song is just about taking it one day at a time, and it's really inspiring. And there's so many ladies I know right now in the fishing industry that are struggling with like health issues and, you know, mental health issues and stuff like that, that want to share their stories to help others. And so I thought having this at least once a month series to kind of give a platform to that conversation specifically would be hopefully impactful. So that's one thing I'm going to be doing in going into 2022.
Jeez, there's so many things I want to ask now. So you mentioned starting the show wasn't what you thought it would be when you started, like, oh, it's going to provide this income and whatnot. What has been like one of the most valuable aspects of hosting a podcast and getting to talk to all these people?
I mean, more than making any kind of money, which I barely make enough just to pay the monthly expenses, if that, actually,
yeah.
You know, but far greater than that has just been all the connections I've made with people all over the country. I feel like I can pretty much travel anywhere now and have somebody that like wants to take me out fishing or, you know, whatever. This past year I started we got a truck camper that we travel around in so we can pull the boat, and we wrapped it. We call it the Woman Angler Mobile Podcast Studio. So as we travel, I try to get together with ladies on the road and interview them and do stories. And I think that would be the ultimate dream right there, to just be able to
travel around. Podcasts.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, how awesome.
How does it work as a studio?
It works really well. The only problem is, you know, if we're off grid and it's really hot, we need to run the generator, that's a little loud. So it's better to kind of do things outside. But if we're hooked up, you know, somewhere, it's great. It's perfect.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, and it's perfect. You know, I tell people, because the show is an adventure show, you know, we get guests from all over the world in random places, terrible Wi-Fi, whatever. It's an adventure. And so, you know, it's almost like handcrafted. It just kind of adds to it, because it is a show about adventure. We get people in some random places. And same with you. That's why you have adventure in your name, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think some of my most popular episodes are when we're on location outside. I've done episodes actually fishing on the boat with like a captain, and we're talking and having a conversation. You can hear all the, you know, the water hitting the boat and, oh, somebody's got a fish on, you know, like those are some of the most popular episodes.
So what's been some of your favorite episodes, maybe your favorite types of fishing, because you've talked about people doing stuff all over the world, all kinds of fishing. What's been some that have really stuck out to you?
One cool one recently, I met this lady at the Bassmaster Classic. Her name escapes me right now, but...
It's a weird name.
I know, right? Escapes me right now. But she just, her life, she and her husband just travel around trying to break world records. And she holds, like, yeah.
Like size
species.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Type of tackle you use to catch a specific type of species. Like, there's records for all that. And so they pick out what they want to go after, and then they figure out how to do it, and then they make that their mission. And she's got like 20 some world records at this point. So
I love that because, you know, we tell people on the show that, you know, adventure is just the framework for the stories, for the memories. You sometimes you need a reason to go somewhere and make something happen, you know, whether that's a trip to go fishing somewhere, to go paddleboard, or to go biking somewhere. You need that goal to actually make the adventure happen. That's just how we motivate ourselves. So, you know, that's perfect what you were just saying. What's another story that has stuck out to you? Let's take a quick message break and hear from the folks that help make this show possible. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, Mason.
If you don't know, Kurt is the former host of Adventure Sports Podcast. Kurt, I heard you had a little story for us.
Okay, true story. A couple of years ago, I decided it was finally time to get just the right ski for me. But ski technology changes so quickly, and I really didn't know what I needed, so I just went to Powder 7, and I told them my skier ability, how I wanted the ski to perform in the pow and on the corduroy and in the bumps, and they pointed at a ski in the wall and said, "I think this is the one for you." Of course, they showed me several others and told me how they would differ, but in the end, they said, "But based on what you said, this is probably the one. I have never had as much fun on a ski as the one that they recommended for me." So if you're going to buy new skis, why not buy the right ones for you? And to do that, go to Powder 7. They really know what they're talking about.
And I also wanted to add, they have pretty much perfected the art of buying skis online, too. So even if you're not in the area, they have a very robust website, extremely helpful. And the cool thing, too, they do sell a lot of used demo skis. So I know we on the show are always looking for deals. That's a great way to save a little money if budget's tight right now. So definitely check out Powder 7 by going to powder7.com. Again, that's powder7.com. I am someone that's not quite smart enough or going to take the time to figure out all the things that my body needs nutritionally. And so I kind of like a cheat code of sorts, almost something that can just get me what I need without me having to think about it. And that's why I'm actually very excited to be talking about Athletic Greens, because they have a daily powder that you can mix with water called AG1 that has 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day. I just do it early in the day, get it done with, and it makes you just feel more accomplished. I feel better. I have more energy. And no matter if you're on a special diet like keto, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, whatever, it doesn't interfere with any of that. Athletic Greens has figured it out, because you could not afford this trying to put those 75 ingredients together yourself. They make it even easier by throwing in a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free Athletic Green AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is go to athleticgreens.com/ASP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/ASP to take ownership over your health. Pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. That is plenty of that for now. Let's get back into the episode.
Gosh, there's been so many, to be honest with you. There's this lady, Catherine Fields, that she pretty much started from not really knowing anything about bass fishing. And she just decided one day she was going to become a bass tournament angler from a kayak. And so she bought a kayak, just started going out and started signing up for these tournaments. And now, like, that's her whole life. That's all she does. She just travels all year long. I love following her on social media because she's always on the road and she's just tournament fishing, like, her whole life. And she's getting really good at it.
Wow. So, from a kayak.
Yeah,
from now, a kayak. Now, how, for folks that don't know, how bizarre is that or how
It's actually growing. It's huge. It's getting really big in popularity, kayak fishing for bass. So Hobie has a whole kayak tournament trail now for bass fishing. And lots of people are gravitating towards it because it's a little bit more accessible than,
yeah,
you know, having to own a $80,000 bass boat. And
a little bit.
I mean, these kayaks, don't get me wrong, they can still be pretty pricey. You do want to be cognizant of the weather. That's, yeah, a little bit more so, just because you can't just zoom on back into the ramp if something comes up. And that was another story. I interviewed this lady up in Crystal River. Jacinda Rose is her name. And she had a pretty harrowing story about getting caught out in a pretty bad lightning storm in her kayak. Yeah. So that is something to consider, but, you know, it is definitely a lot less to think about for sure than taking a boat.
And I will say there's plenty of times I say, oh man, look at that island over there. I'd love to go explore that. But, you know, being in a kayak, it's like being on a bike. It's like, well, it's a little bit farther than if I was in a car or on a boat. So there is that downside too, but So for you, how has the show evolved over time?
Well, production quality, I feel like, has gotten a little bit better. I've learned a few things over the years that, you know, have made the sound quality improve and whatnot. But for the most part, I mean, it's pretty much stayed the same. Focus is just, there's no end to how many ladies out there. Like, I always worry, oh, I'm gonna run out of potential people to feature on the show.
Oh, yeah.
No, there is absolutely no end to it. So that's been great. You know, I never have to worry about getting to the bottom of the barrel, so
no,
to speak.
No. Well, hopefully it's more and more people all the time are entering the community.
Yes, it's been growing quite a bit since I've started the show, I've noticed, and watching, you know, social media and stuff like that. And I think the image has changed a little bit too, because I kind of remember when I first started the show and I was looking at women in fishing on social media, and a lot of them were those ones in their bikinis, you know, out there and that sort of thing. And that's really
the chartered boat.
That, yeah.
Big, yeah.
That's really changed quite a bit. Now you're seeing more, not that these ladies aren't real, but more relatable, I guess, women out there doing it. And so, you know, that's good to see, because I think that helps for other women interested in getting involved to see that, as opposed to, you know, it's kind of unrealistic image. They can relate more to that, and that's going to be more encouraging that to them to wanna, they're like, oh, she can do it, I can do it, kind of a thing.
So what is the most maybe common barrier you hear from women anglers or potential women anglers, because you're obviously talking specifically to women through your show, and you saw this as something that wasn't being addressed in the podcasting world? What is it specifically, or what do you hear the most from women about getting into fishing?
Yeah, I think it's a big thing is just not knowing where to start. Honestly, it's like if they don't know somebody in their immediate circle who's really into it, that they're comfortable with, like asking questions and, you know, saying, hey, will you take me out or show me? Or you walk into a Bass Pro Shop these days and it's like unlimited.
Unreal.
Options of tackle and equipment, and
especially here where you've got so many different types.
Yeah,
of fishing.
Here especially. Yeah, I mean, you know, are you freshwater fishing? Are you offshore fishing? Are you inshore? Are you going in the river? Like, you know,
yep.
What are you targeting?
Spear fishing. Gosh,
yeah,
you could get into all kinds of different stuff.
Absolutely, there's so many options. So that's a barrier. I think there's. It's changing in that there's more groups out there now that women can turn to if they're comfortable with that. There's becoming an outdoors woman group that, you know, offers classes and things like that people can sign up for There's different, you know, co-ed groups, women's groups, so you can, you know, search for people and learn that way, or on social media, connecting with somebody in your area that does it, that's willing to help. And I think most anybody's willing to teach somebody, you know, if you approach them.
And for you, what would you say your biggest, you know, reason is for fishing, or the reason you tell people to do it, like the biggest benefit they'll get from their life?
For me, it's just that release. When you're out there in nature and you've got something to focus on, you're fishing, you forget about everything else, you know, and that's all that matters in that moment. And I think everybody should have something like that in their lives, whether it's fishing, whether it's you play golf, you know, whatever it is for you that gives you that escape, that's super important. And so that's why I fish. And if somebody relates to that and is drawn to it, then you should by all means pursue that passion.
So true. We tell folks that all the time. Do whatever's going to get you out there, and it might change over time too. And so for you, having to, you know, having talked to so many people who've done so many types of fishing, and having done so many yourself, is there a particular kind or style of fishing that you like the best, or you find the most enjoyable?
I love it all. I mean, though I grew up walleye fishing, so that's always going to hold a special place in my heart anytime I get a chance to do some walleye fishing. I've gotten to take some trips up to Lake Erie, and that's been a lot of fun, either casting or trolling for walleye. I love inshore fishing. That's why I love being able to come down here to Florida over the winter time, and because you never know what you're going to catch. I mean, just in the few weeks I've been here, I've been catching speckled trout. I got a nice snook the other day. So Jack Crevalle, which they fight so hard, even if they're small, like those are super fun. I don't get to do it often enough, but for the same reason, I love offshore fishing, because you never know what you're going to get, and they tend to be like really big fish sometimes, which is a lot of fun. So I just love it all. And of course, competitive bass fishing, that's been fun. I'm going to do it again in 2022, and it's just a challenge, you know, and you're competing against, for me, these women that I compete against, most of them have been doing it for 20 plus years. And wow. So it's definitely a challenge.
Jeez. So I actually want to ask more about that. You know, when did it become a goal for you to become a professional fishing, you know, tournament fisher or whatever? When did that become a goal, and how do you begin even pursuing that?
It actually came from the podcast, because I interviewed one of the founders of the Lady Bass Anglers Association on one of my episodes, and she was just talking about how accessible it is and how these ladies, it's an all women's tour, and they're all super supportive, and they're there to help you and teach you if you don't know what you're doing. Like, nobody's going to make you feel stupid, you know? And so that was kind of what drew me to the idea. And I, you know, started thinking about it more and more and more. And I had this opportunity with Freedom Boat Club. At the time, I had a tri-tune, which would be pretty unconventional to fish a bass tournament with. Not undoable by any means, but it would be pretty unconventional. I still fish from an unconventional boat, though. I have a center console Key West. With a T-top, actually.
For bass fishing.
For bass fishing.
In freshwater. Yeah. So yeah, that is unconventional.
I mean, I can still get in, like, really shallow water, and, like, I haven't had any issues with any of that. My only issue I've had with it, personally, has been the T-top. There's been some bridges on some of the lakes we fish that have been too low for me to get under, so it's kind of limited me. So, in fact, the first tournament we're fishing this year is the same lake we fished last year for our first tournament, and there's definitely a couple bridges there that I can't get under, so I'm gonna have to, like, adjust my game plan now that I know this.
You take it out, you take the T-top out, or take it lower it or something?
Yeah, it's not really one of those removable ones, it's kind of permanent, so I'm gonna have to adjust my game plan, and just knowing that this is the part of the lake I can fish. So
jeez. Yeah, I would say that is a little bit unique. But hey, you're going down a unique path here.
I mean, absolutely.
go where no one's gone before and leave a trail.
Yeah.
So how did you do? How did this season go for you?
So my first year as a pro, I only fished one tournament with them as a co-angler, and that was the last tournament the year before, just to kind of get my feet wet and see how everything kind of worked. This year, I finished in 12th in the Angler of the Year points, so that qualified me. The top 15 make it to the Classic, so I was able to make it to the Classic at the end of the year, fish the championship. Ironically, finished 12th in the championship, too, so I guess 12 was my number for 2021.
Yeah, just a dozen, right? Well, yeah. you got Best Outdoor Podcast at the Outdoor Media Summit, so 12th there in first place Outdoor Media.
Yeah, that's something special, and that was the second year in a row, actually, so that was pretty cool.
So one, you've got once, twice, so another 12 there. So,
there you go.
Something about 12. Maybe you need to get a lotto ticket.
Yeah.
Everyone that fishes has a story of the one that got away. Is there one for you that
yes,
the one or some that have gotten away?
Well, one that immediately pops into my mind is the last tournament of the year before the Classic. We were on the Cane River in Louisiana, and it was hot. It was like 114 degrees. Water temp was like in the 90s, so these fish were lethargic. I couldn't figure out how to get a bite to save my life. Like,
wow.
All practice. We're drifting very close to a channel marker.
I was going to jump up and push if I had to. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're
all
good.
So we're fishing the Cane River in Louisiana, and it's super hot. Fish are lethargic. I can't get a bite to save my life. And, I mean, couple good fish and you're gonna do all right in the tournament pretty much what it was coming down to. Some of the ladies did get it figured out, and that, you know, again, these are these ladies that have been fishing for 20 years that have way more experience than I do. But I last day of the final day of the tournament was day two, final hours, I still had not caught anything to weigh in, and it was just crushing my soul. I'm like, what is going on here? I got a little bird's nest in my bait caster. So my line was out there, and I was pulling the bird's nest out, and I got it. So I started reeling in, and next thing I knew, I had a big fish hooked on. So I was reeling it back up to, you know, recast. Well, the fish had wrapped itself around a post, like a dock post. And it almost happened in a blink of eye. No sooner, I literally saw the fish, knew I had a big fish on, saw it was wrapped around the dock post, and it came off.
Could you see it at all? So, could you see out there?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the fish, and it was good size. Yeah, and so that was heartbreaking. I mean, I don't know if there's anything I could have done about it because it all happened so quickly. Maybe I could have been paying a little more attention when I was getting that bird's nest out. But, yeah, that was – actually, I take it back. That was actually the end of day one. And so day two, about the same time, I went back to that same little dock and tried to see, you know, see if it was still there. But I couldn't get anything to bite.
Oh, my gosh. That is wild.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaking.
Any stories like that from a personal just catching fish – not in a tournament?
Yeah, I've got one. I was out just fun fishing on our lake. We actually stay on a houseboat on Percy Priest Lake outside of Nashville. And when I had the Tritune, we had gone out just kind of fun fishing, just leisurely. And Dana was actually with me when this happened. I hooked into something huge. And I don't know... I never did get to see it, and I think that's the biggest heartbreaker of all, at least if I had gotten to see what it was, because to this day, I have no idea if it was a catfish, a striper, the world record largemouth. Like, I have no idea. All I know is it was huge, and it busted my line.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was shaking.
She cried.
I might have cried.
That is awesome. So y'all live on a houseboat. When did that start? Was that while you were in the music industry?
I was still in the music industry. I was living in East Nashville, and my roommate at the time, she decided that she wanted to maybe start adopting kids and like kind of start a family or whatever. And so I'm like, well, that ain't gonna work. A friend of mine had talked about living on a houseboat, and I was like, that would be really cool because I've always wanted to live on the water, but I hate having to upkeep, like mow the lawn and
So when we got a yard, I was like, I'm not mowing. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be spending my time doing that. But my wife loves to mow, so that actually works out really well. But I don't want to be spending my time doing that stuff. But I end up wasting it in other ways. You know, there's always projects going on. So
same. So, yeah, every weekend with the house, I was either mowing the lawn or doing this and that, pulling weeds, you know. And I was like, man, if I lived on a houseboat, I don't have to do any of that stuff. And I'm on the water, which is what I want. And so that's when I started looking into that. And I just found the perfect option. Just one of those meant to be things. Everything just fell into place.
That's how you know that you're going the right way.
Yeah.
Because, we've tried to do things, different lifestyles, and we're trying too hard. And it makes it miserable. You know what I mean? So you kind of realize that's not the way you need to go. So the fact that it worked out like that. So how was it getting used to that?
It was a lot easier than I thought. I envisioned I was going to have to sell everything and it was going to be like moving into a tiny house.
Yeah.
It's not like that at all. Like, we have so much storage. The whole hull of the boat underneath is like pretty much open, besides like ductwork and a couple holding tanks and stuff. So there's tons of storage. It's a 66 foot by 14 foot wide Somerset houseboat. It's got 3 bedrooms, 1.5 baths, upstairs like party deck. You know, I couldn't ask for a better situation. And, that probably the most challenging thing is just having a dog and having to walk down the dock to take the dog to land to go potty. That's probably the most challenging thing, which is why we're in Florida in the wintertime.
Yeah, I believe it.
So we don't have to walk down that chilly dock.
Sophie seems so laid back.
She's such a good dog.
I imagine she's about as good as it gets when it comes to having a dog on the boat.
Absolutely. She does not like to get wet, which is also probably a good thing, because she doesn't want to jump in, so she doesn't get all smelly and
right. You don't have to wonder, well, where'd she go?
Yeah.
She definitely didn't jump in.
No.
But
she might fall in on accident, which has not happened yet, thankfully,
knock
on wood, but
oh my gosh. So as far as I'm sure people ask this, affordability, how does that compare in that area? A houseboat versus a regular house, is it comparable or much more expensive?
Somewhat. You've got your slip rent that you have to pay to the marina, which depending on where you are can be quite a bit. We're lucky, we're probably somewhere middle of the road from what I've seen. Like, down here it can be very expensive, as you could imagine. But we pay for our electric bill just like you would if you have a house. We've got a heat pump, like a household heat pump that you would have. Water is included with our slip rent, so we don't have that bill. We pay for insurance, and otherwise, the houseboat.
A lot of maintenance?
Not too much. We've been lucky so far. We got a really good boat. I mean, it's a 1990 model, okay. But the people that owned it before, really kept it up really well, with the motors. And we change the oil every year and, try to keep up with all that stuff. We winterize it before we come down here in case, it does get cold, pretty cold in Nashville in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure it's comparable to like an RV or something.
Yeah.
Like, there's moving parts. You take it out at all?
We didn't at all this year. We have a little bit of an issue. We like to drive it upstairs because you can see better than driving inside downstairs.
Yeah.
And the cables, there's something wrong with the steering cables up there that they're not adjusted right.
Yeah.
And I've been so busy this year that I just haven't had time,
To
monkey with it.
I get it.
So we didn't take it out, but we're really lucky. Our whole dock, we're all like one big family. Oh. And whenever they take their boats out, we'll just take our little center console Key West out and tie up with them and hang out, you know. And so we still get the experience without having the worry or, you know, having to pay for the gas to take the big boat out.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. So what would you say, I don't know, maybe one of the biggest lessons you've learned going your own path these last, when did you start the show and leave the music industry?
Oh, gosh, the year escapes me. I'm on my 217th episode now. So, yeah, a little over 3 years. So,
about 3 years ago. And you started the show how long before you ended your career?
It was like a year before I left. Yeah. So time flies. You know how it is. Everything just kind of runs together, and you're like, wow, has it been that long already?
Oh, yeah. Things you thought would just be the biggest worry ever, you can't even remember now.
Right.
It's wild.
I mean, I'd say the biggest thing for me, and it's just go for it. I mean, I've always had that mentality of if you're scared of it, do it. I mean, for the most part. I still have to get over my fear of public speaking.
A podcast host?
I know. Well, I was supposed to actually present with you at the Outdoor Media Summit.
Oh, yeah.
On podcasting. And now I think I could do it because now I've been there and I kind of see what it's all about. But in my head, I'm picturing like a TED Talk, you know?
Yeah, it's got to be perfect.
And I'm like, I don't know if I could do that.
Oh, yeah. No, we're all just floundering up there. Every other talk I went to was pretty laid back.
Yeah.
I was nervous as could be.
I couldn't tell.
You know, I was quivering and all that, my voice shaking. And I always get nervous before I get up in front of people. I've done it so much now that it's like, that's just part of it.
Right.
I mean, heck, there's professional performers. I was just listening to one of my favorite comedians, and they were saying that they get just gripped with fear every time they walk out on stage. And I'm like, this is your career. How is that? You just realize even the biggest people are feeling it.
Yeah, I read a book recently called The 5-4-3-2-1 Method, I think it's called, or rule. And she said the way she deals with it is she reframes that nervous energy as excitement. So she tries to like train her brain that when she feels that way, it's actually she's just excited. That's something that I want to try to work on.
How I think about it is like that feeling is a good feeling.
Right.
But I've never thought about it as like a excitement. But that's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, because it's the exact same stuff going on in your body.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So you didn't speak there. But are you going to be at the one in Tahoe?
I hope
this
so.
Year? This, I guess it's this year now. It's 2022.
I'd love to. I've only been to Tahoe once, and it's been years ago, so I'd love to come back. And I hear there's some pretty good fishing around there. So.
Oh, yeah. So it's a heck of a lake there, so it's got to be something. Well, I tell you what, if it works out, maybe we could speak there.
Yeah.
Tag team. Because I think of the podcast, to me, as a river. Like, that's kind of like the mentality of like going downhill. And that's honestly how I think about it. Like, one thing you mentioned, not forcing things. You flow where gravity takes you. You work hard, but you flow where things are making sense and things are moving. And obviously, if I'm talking about that and you're talking about fishing, it's just going to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, no, that was a great metaphor. I thought that was perfect, actually.
Oh, it's what you've been talking about is like, hey, you know, I don't know. You just try and try and try in a certain direction. And if it doesn't work, that doesn't mean you can't work in that industry. It just follow where the river's going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I pursued the outdoor sports and bike touring and mountain biking and climbing mountains and whatnot. And now I'm working at a brewery. It's like the most random, but it's the same industry in
right.
a really weird way. And so if you're willing to just go for the ride and see where life takes you, you never know. You might end up on a boat in the middle of the Manatee River doing a podcast with people you never met before. And it's awesome.
Exactly.
But, yeah, well, I tell you what, any other lessons you want to share with folks? Because I know with your show and I know with my show, there's so many people out there that were you behind the desk having a, you know, very blessed, thankful for the career, but
right.
want something new. And same with my show. A lot of people in great positions or people maybe not, and they want to do something a little different. Anything else you feel like sharing with those folks?
I mean, it sounds so cliche, but just don't be afraid. You know, put yourself out there, put it out into the universe. If you don't, if you just hold it in, like, it's very likely nothing's going to happen. So start talking about it, at least as a very beginning. You know, don't just quit your job and start doing it, but start telling your friends, hey, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? You know, like, put it out there. And I think once you do that, if it's meant to be, things start falling into place. Things just fall in right in front of you, and you're like, oh, maybe I should take this opportunity, or maybe I should go ahead and introduce myself to this person. And if things, you know, start falling into place, you know, you're going downstream. I mean, yeah,
that's, it's working.
You're, yeah,
enjoy the ride. Yep. And if you are scared, you're just excited.
There you go.
Oh, well, where can people listen to your show and find out what you're doing? Because you're not just doing the podcast. You're competing. You're right. Doing talks. You're doing live episodes, too.
Yep. We started doing some Facebook Lives on Monday nights, featuring some other women and another host with that fishes the tour with me, Barbara Harris, kind of taking the lead on that because I'm a little overextended. I'm like, I'll show up on Monday nights. You set it all up and I'll show up. And that's kind of how that's been going. But super thankful to her. But yeah, the womanangler.com website, you can find the podcast. Of course, we're on all the major podcast platforms. And then as far as following like my journey, I post some stuff on the Woman Angler Instagram, kind of doubles as a little bit of a personal / podcast kind of a thing. And I'm pretty open on Facebook too. So if you just search for Angie Scott on Facebook, it's / the Woman Angler. Come up, connect with me there. You can follow everything pretty much on Facebook. So haven't really gotten into the TikTok and all that just yet. It's like, man, Instagram, Facebook, that's a lot.
It's plenty of social media.
Yeah.
You get on everything, you won't ever go fishing.
I know, yeah. You know? It's like I need to hire a team at that point, and no.
I totally agree. That's enough social media.
Yep.
First of all, thank you so much for listening. It means the world to us that you choose to listen to this show. If you'd like to help us further, you can leave a review on iTunes, share us with your friends, your family. It goes a long way to grow in the show. You can also support us financially through patreon.com/adventuresportspodcast. Link is in the show notes. And also, if you have an idea of who could be a good guest for the show, we're always looking for people to tell their story about the outdoors or adventure. So if you know someone, please reach out. Email us at info@adventuresportspodcast.com. And until then, get out there and have some fun.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.